Wednesday, January 26th, prophecies. If you would please turn to John, the second chapter. John, the second chapter. In John, the second chapter, starting at verse 19, down through verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews therefore said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Again, like we started out last week, the true knowledge was not out there yet. There was still a lot of unbelief. Here was the scriptures. Here's what Jesus also told his disciples and his apostles, but yet they still didn't believe it. It wasn't a point of... It hadn't sunk in yet to them. So, okay? So, put yourself in their place back then concerning this, and it does make it rather difficult when you try to look at the prophecies and try to fit it to the person.
Say, Larry, even now, when I read something that's in figurative language, it's not easy to understand some of these things. You can look at Revelations or even some of the things in the Old Testament, Isaiah, and these things that meant more to the people that it was addressed to at the time. But I look at it and I can't make heads or tails of some of it. It's just very difficult. So I can see why they have a hard time.
Right. And when we get to where you can go ahead and look at it ahead of time, look at Isaiah 7:14 and see what it's talking about there. We're not going to this evening, but it's one that we'll look at. And if it wasn't for Jesus saying over in the New Testament, this was the fulfillment, or it's being spoken of not by Jesus, but this was a fulfillment, we wouldn't know. Because when you look at Isaiah 7:14, and trying to piece that together and just reading it and applying it over to the Messiah, you know, that's rather difficult. Okay? Because in Isaiah 7:14, in the context and what it's spoken about, it's talking about things that were going to be happening then. Okay? And the terminology as far as a virgin would be one that was espoused but not had children yet. Okay? So, we can see the whole picture now to where we go run over here and say, oh, we put all this together and, okay, it's talking about Christ. But if you were back there and reading just the Old Testament scrolls and you were reading Isaiah 7:14, then try to say, okay, well, that applies to him. Okay? At the time, it was applying to someone else there that was going to come about. Okay? When we talk about Jesus, again, the word Christ is a title. It's a noun. It's a title. It's a descriptive title. Christ means the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay? And that's, when we looked at it, it was that Jesus was the Lord's Anointed. Okay? Jesus was the name. When we talk about praying in the name of Jesus, okay? When you say praying in Christ's name, when you say you're praying in Christ's name, what name are you actually praying in then? Huh? Well, when you say you're praying in the Christ name, whose name are you praying in?
Jesus.
Jesus. Okay? It's the same as saying in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12, there's no other what? Does that mean the name of the Messiah? Or does it mean the name Jesus? Because Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Anointed One. Okay? We'd left off at looking at the Lord's Christ, Jehovah's Anointed, in Luke, the second chapter, verses 10 and 11, and Luke's second chapter, verses 25 and 26. And that's where we left off last Wednesday. Therefore, bear in mind, when we read concerning Jesus the Christ, or Jesus Christ together, when we read, we can replace the word Christ with the words the Anointed One or the Messiah. Either one, the Anointed One or the Messiah. When you look at Matthew, the first chapter, Matthew Matthew, the first chapter, and verse 16. In the genealogy that is given, it says, "And to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is what? Who is called Christ, who is called the Messiah, who is called the Anointed One." Look at the 27th chapter of Matthew. The 27th chapter of Matthew. In verse 22, even Pilate recognized this was a descriptive title. When Pilate said to them, talking back to the Jews and them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is what? Who is called Christ?" Okay. Jesus, which is called Christ. Jesus, which was called the Messiah, the Anointed One. So when we talk about the Christ, we are speaking concerning the Messiah or an Anointed One by Jehovah for a special office or function. So we will be looking for a person as the object of that noun. We will be looking for a person that fulfills that title, that character, that descriptive term. Okay, so that's what we're going to be looking for, is the particular person. Okay, now of course we know, based upon all the information that we have, who was that? It was Jesus. Okay, Christ means Anointed One. Again, it means Messiah. When you say Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, or Jesus the Messiah. Okay. Any question or comments on that so far? I know we spent a lot of length on that, but I think it's something that is so often overlooked in this day and time, and we really don't place the full significance on it, that we just kind of read over it, Jesus Christ, and we don't realize it's Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay? What we're going to be looking at through this study is the prophecies and fulfillments concerning the Christ, the Anointed One, or the Messiah. The prophecies and fulfillment of that. To define the word prophecy, basically it is a prediction that was either spoken or written. It's a declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means. Okay? It signifies the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. It's a declaring of the purpose of God. It can be a foretelling by speaking in the name of the Lord. It's to utter forth, declare, a thing which can only be known by divine revelation. That's what a prophecy is. We will be looking at something in particular that was declared by Jehovah. A declaration that was uttered, a speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. That's what we're going to be looking at. And then when we look at it, then we're going to try to find the peg that fits that. Okay? We're going to have to look at all the happenings that took place and see how, if a person met that criteria. Okay?
But remember when you look, just thought, in looking at the conversion of the eunuch and Philip preaching to him from the scriptures concerning Jesus, you couldn't imply that water baptism was taught there, but through the teaching of those scriptures that were foretold, the foretell of the coming of the Christ, his mission, was from that the eunuch able to understand what he was not reading before of the prophecies, and he connected the prophecies with the question that he asked, "Here's water, what hinders me to be baptized?"
From where he was reading, it is the description of the Messiah, and that he, when he preached Jesus to him in verse 35, he opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, from Isaiah, he preached Jesus to him, that he would have been explaining to him what all Jesus had to suffer and what all he had to go through. And this was a thing that was known at that time. It would have been about, he had been where?
Jerusalem.
Okay, he would have been at Jerusalem to worship. This was a thing that was scattered about. He knew what had happened, what had took place. He just couldn't put the pegs together. And so Philip helps him with that, as far as in talking about the demeanor of Christ, how he fit these characteristics. And then also in that, you have to preach when you talk about the death, burial, and resurrection. We'll get into that a little bit later on, where Christ said it behooved him. He has to suffer. He has to come and die. Okay, which was something the Jews weren't looking for, totally against their nature. And so in that, when you talk about the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, you naturally talk about baptism or our death and burial and resurrection into a new life.
So he could bring it forward by teaching the sufferings of Christ. Read that, what Ray was saying, 1 Peter 1 and verse 10 talks of this salvation. The prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. That means the coming of Christ. When you look at a lot of the quotations that are made by the writers of the gospel, as you say, when you go back and look from the Old Testament, it's not having reference to Christ in particular, but maybe to some other. But you know, all scriptures tie in the Old Testament to Christ in some form. When you look at Hebrews,
okay, now all the scriptures tie into
when it talks about
a Messiah coming,
right?
Okay,
but other scriptures are quoted. When you look back, say David, sometimes they have reference to David, but the reality of those scriptures are used to talk about Christ. So those scriptures, all scriptures tie into Christ. When you look at Hebrews, it deals of all the ceremonies and all those things. They have reference to the one that has come. They were a foreshadowing of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, kind of what Ray said, when you look at that, those are difficult things even for us to understand with this.
Right. And the difficult part was that, yes, Hebrews talks about the Christ. They talk about the Christ. But more important, what I'm trying to, is it talked about who? The Christ was the title.
The only one.
It talked about Jesus. That's the one that it talked about. Hebrews, the Hebrew writer explains it was Jesus that fit all these characteristics of the Messiah, the prophecies and so forth.
Well, yeah, even those scriptures that tied the ceremony laws and things they done was tied into Jesus.
Yeah. That's what did Jesus tell them? Yeah,
all
what did
those things. So when they would quote scriptures particularly that at the time might have a reference to someone else such as David, it was really in reality tying into Jesus.
It was because Peter brought forth the statements of David that Jesus would not be left in Hades, but he would rise again. Okay, he wouldn't be left there. And that's one that Peter brings forth in his talking to those on the day of Pentecost.
So when he back to the union of Philip, the connection was made there of that scripture that Philip taught him.
Right. And it's those that saw it grasped a hold of it and went with it, but those that didn't see it, and the reason the Jews didn't see it is because of, and we'll get into it a little bit in one section of the material, is that is not what their perception was of the Messiah. The Messiah or the Anointed One was going to come and liberate them as a nation again. And it was totally wrong. I mean, they could not imagine that their Messiah was going to come and suffer.
And so the reference is hear and they hear not, and they see not. Because maybe like us today, we fail to grasp a particular scripture that we have trouble with, that we're looking at and we're seeing it. We're hearing what it says, but we're not comprehending.
Right. Right. It's just like when I read John 2, 19 through 22. Last week was John 28 and 9. This week's John 2, 19 through 22. Even the people that walked with Jesus, the apostles, it did not dawn on them until then they remembered, oh yeah, he said.
Like the dad and mom come out of denomination, they heard the scriptures at the time they were in denomination, but they never understood. They heard, but didn't understand. They saw, but didn't understand until truth was taught. And you look back at these people that you're talking about, that we have a great advantage. We have this written word, which they didn't have. Of why, as Ray mentioned, they couldn't understand what was being said and failed to grasp the nature of the kingdom.
Right. And the prominent Jews that did grasp it and understand it, Joseph of Arimathea and Zacchaeus, the ones that came for Jesus' body, it says that they were his disciples. They were believers. But yet they also were prominent in the Sanhedrin, so they were cautious about letting that be publicly known, but yet they did believe. Okay? But there was others who just flat out didn't, because of, again, what they were looking for in their interpretation is, you know, we're, and rightly so. I mean, I don't want to get into a whole lot of this, but, and we'll look at it when we go through the prophecies. They were looking for a king. When you're looking for a king, your king isn't one that's going to come and be humble and suffer and die. That's not the king I was looking for. And that's what the Jews said. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a king that's going to come, that's going to get rid of these Romans, going to put them in their place, going to be over them, and we're going to rise up over them and his army, and they're going to serve us, and we're taking back Jerusalem and our land. And that's what they were looking for. And here comes Jesus, and he's totally the opposite. And they weren't going to accept it. And they didn't.
When you look at the cross far, the blood that was shed was more clear than it was white as snow. The foreshadowing of the animal sacrifices, I think they understand there that that cleansing would have taken place, there was sacrifice that was offered. You're talking about, the teaching was there, the foreshadowing that we understand, but they wouldn't have because of that misconception.
It was hard for them to grasp it. Right. Because they didn't have the whole total picture on that. Very hard for them. So the revelation was uttered, and a speaking came forth in the council from God. We were told that a Messiah appointed by God would come. That's what the Old Testament scriptures talk about, that a Messiah appointed by God would come. We were given specific signs and declarations to look for to show who would fulfill this role of the Messiah. So when you take those specifics and you piece them together, then you would end up finding the person that met those criteria. In order to be able to do that, you had to be what? You had to be knowledgeable of the Old Testament scriptures, but what else would you have to be in? You had to be open-minded. You couldn't be prejudiced in those scriptures. Okay? You had to be open-minded. These signs would all be particular to one person, establishing the fact that this is the fulfillment. Okay? Basically, what we would say would be beyond all shadow of what? A doubt. Okay? What did John say at the end of his book? These things were what? So everything that's contained here is enough for us to do what? To remove all doubt and to believe. Okay? Fulfillment. When you're talking about prophecy, you're talking about fulfillment. Fulfillment or to be fulfilled. The basic meaning is to satisfy, to complete, or to accomplish. We will see then the accomplishment or completeness of the various foretellings or declarations of Jehovah concerning the Messiah who was to come. If a person meets all the criteria of the declarations of the Messiah and satisfies them, then what is the conclusion that we have to reach logically? That person was the Messiah. Okay? Our duty is to search out and confirm what was written concerning the coming of the Messiah. Why do you believe that Jesus was the Christ? When you think about that confession that you made, Jesus was what? You made the confession, Jesus was the Christ. What are you actually saying? Jesus was the Messiah. He was the one sent from God. He was the anointed one. What caused you to believe that? To make that confession. Well, it was just something I'd said that I was told to do when I got baptized. Right? Did we have enough scriptural knowledge to make that correlation? Did we? How many of you all knew the Old Testament prophecies and everything when you were baptized? Okay. It's a learning process, isn't it? There was enough that we felt that Jesus was the Christ, that we said, but yet we didn't have it in all totality in our minds. Right now, we're established above and beyond the fact that we know what? The reason you're here this evening is because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what? That Jesus was the Christ, that He is the Messiah that came from God, the Father. Okay? You know that. How do you know that? Because of going back and looking and seeing that He met the criteria of what Jehovah said was going to be. Okay? So our duty is to search out and confirm. The question of the high priest, they wanted to take the easy route. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Verse 63, when Jesus is before them in the trial, but Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether what?
If you are the Christ, the Son of God.
Tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Would they have believed it? That they didn't. If he'd have said, yes, I am, they would have strung him up for blasphemy. That's what they tried to do anyway. Okay? So, I mean, that was the question of the high priest. Tell us whether you be the Christ or not. Mark, the 14th chapter. Mark's recording of it. In verse 61, but he kept silent and made no answer. And again the high priest was questioning him and saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? When you look at the 22nd chapter of Luke, you have Luke's verse 66. And when it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to the council chamber, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you what? You will not believe. Okay? In John, the 5th chapter, it wasn't a matter of Jesus telling them. In John, the 5th chapter, in verse 39, Jesus makes the statement, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And that's what they did. They searched through the Scriptures because they knew that was eternal, where eternal life was. And he says, and it is these that do what? That bear witness or testify of me. Now, whose words are these in the Old Testament? Whose words were those? God's, the Father's words, Jehovah's words, and He's saying they do what? They testify or they bear witness of me. How else did Jehovah bear witness and testify that Jesus was the Messiah?
By the miracles that He was able to do. When the dove came down on Him. There's several different things.
A whole host, isn't there? By all the miracles that He had done. Testified or bore witness. God the Father bore witness that this was His anointed one through many avenues, but yet they didn't believe it. You tell us. You tell me. Tell me if you are or not. We must not be like the rulers back then. We shouldn't be like them. We've got to recognize that He is. In Acts, the 13th chapter. In Acts, the 13th chapter, in verse 27, for those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither Him nor the utterance of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning Him. What were they guilty of?
Unbelief.
Okay, in what two aspects? It says here, verse 27, for those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing what? Recognizing not who?
Not Christ nor the prophets.
Recognizing not Jesus nor the utterance of the prophets, which were what? Read every Sabbath. Okay? When you think about the gospel and what we're trying to teach the world today, what are we trying to teach them? Are we trying to teach them the doctrine of the church? Or are we trying to teach them Jesus was the Messiah? Which one are we doing?
Should be
teaching what?
Jesus the Messiah.
That's where you start first, isn't it? That's the whole basis of the... Pardon?
If you don't know and believe that, you can't become a member of the church to begin with.
When you look at what was taught in the very beginning in Acts and so forth, what were they teaching? That Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And that's the same thing we should be teaching to those. And we can take the Old Testament passages and show them that He fulfilled them, that He is the Messiah, that He is the Christ, and the work that He accomplished. Because that's what a Messiah or anointed one is. That was the special function that Jehovah sent Him for. Okay? To be what? To be a Savior. Okay? To save us from our sins. That was the Messiah, the anointed one. Okay? So we've got to recognize that. Luke, the 24th chapter. We must recognize it. We must believe. Luke, the 24th chapter. Verse 25. Those two men that were on the road to Emmaus, they were walking there and Jesus went with them and they didn't recognize Him. And they said, well, you know, they were talking. He says, what are you talking about? And they explained to Him everything that had happened in Jerusalem and how Jesus was crucified and everything. And he's like, where have you been at? Haven't you heard this? Where have you been? And in verse 25, He said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to do what? To believe in what? In all that the prophets have spoken. And here in verse 26, was it not necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, to suffer these things and to enter into His glory? Wasn't it necessary for Him to suffer? To die? When you go down to verse 27, and beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the Scriptures. Okay? Our faith is based on the evidence and firm, solid belief of the fulfillment of the declaration foretold by Jehovah concerning the Messiah and the person of Jesus. And that's where our faith rests. Whenever our faith wavers, then where is it wavering at? It wavers from the standpoint that we start faltering in believing that Jesus was the Messiah. When you stop and think about that Jesus was the Anointed One, the Messiah from Jehovah, why wouldn't He be Lord of your life? Why wouldn't you submit to Him? Okay? That is the reason why in what God had established for Him to do, that is why in that work that He was anointed to be the Messiah, the Christ, that is why there's no other salvation in any other name but in the name Jesus. That's why everything goes through Him. That's why He has all power and authority right now. Is because He was anointed for that purpose. Okay? Any question or comment on that? Anything else? Okay. One of the things that we'll have to look at next is that there were certain signs leading up before the Messiah or the Anointed One came. And they were also told in the Old Testament, when you see this happening, then we're getting ready. After this happens, then the Messiah or the Anointed One is going to arrive. And one of the main things, of course, I know that you can probably gather, is who? Exactly. John the Baptizer. When John came, there was a prophecies in the Old Testament that when this person comes, be looking. Be looking, because right after him is who? The Christ, the Messiah. Okay? Jehovah is going to send a messenger to clear or prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. In the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, y'all go ahead and look at that next week. because we're out of time. Malachi, look at what the book has to deal with. Look at it's a short little book. It's just four little chapters that you can read. But read Malachi and get a general basis of what it's talking about, what he's telling Jerusalem, the people, the inhabitants. And pay particular attention to chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 4. Okay? Dealing with what's going to be happening. Okay? Because these are the prophecies that God is saying that I'm going to send someone before the Christ or the Messiah. I'm going to send someone. Has that person came? We've got to determine whether he came or not. If he did come, if this person did come, then that starts leading the way for us to believe that the Messiah or the Christ was next. Okay? Any question or comment?